Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. This is the final movie in the DC cinematic universe as we know it before it gets rebooted into whatever the new universe is going to be, headed up by James Gunn and some other guy, starting with Superman Legacy, I think it's called, down the road. Actually, maybe possibly starting with Blue Beetle, even though that didn't do well, so I'm guessing they're just going to say, okay, never mind, that was not a part of the new universe, even though they kind of said it was a part of the new universe already, but we'll see what they do with that. So let's talk about the final movie in the DCU.
Hi, baby boy. Talking to the fishies? You and me, son. We're different. We're special. We're connected to the land and the sea. I can't wait to introduce you to all the majestic creatures on our planet and show you how awesome this world can be. Yeah, you and me.
Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Black Manta seeks revenge on Aquaman for his father's death. Wielding the Black Trident's power, he becomes a formidable foe. To defend Atlantis, Aquaman forges an alliance with his imprisoned brother, Orm. Together, they must protect the kingdom of Atlantis and the whole world, of course, because this is a superhero movie.
I'm gonna kill Aquaman. Even if I have to make a deal with the devil to do it.
Free me from my prison, and all my power will be yours.
The key to this prison is the royal bloodline itself.
Themes, messages, ideas. This is the part of the show where I talk about some of the thematic material that is in Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. So what stuck out to me here? Well, this movie is basically just Aquaman versus global warming. The whole global warming climate change message in here is so strong and so obnoxiously in your face in this movie. It's very annoying. Oh my goodness. Okay. There's so much focus on in this movie of, oh my goodness, we're like heating the earth up or whatever, and we're going to destroy the entire planet. And, you know, the villains, you know, they're doing bad stuff or whatever, but ultimately, like, the stuff that they're doing would have happened already anyway, because, you know, humanity is just destroying the earth and we're just going to annihilate everything. And oh my goodness, humans are so terrible because of global warming and all that kind of stuff. Now, okay, yeah, I agree, we need to take care of the earth. God gave us dominion over the earth in Genesis. We're supposed to take care of it. We're supposed to make a garden out of the earth. That's part of our job as humans. But also, we don't need to worry about global warming. Global warming, as they say it, as is popular in the world today, is just fictional. You can even go back to scripture for this. You can go and look at some of the science stuff and see how far phony baloney that stuff is. But leaving that stuff behind, you can look at in Genesis chapter 8, we'll start at verse 21. This is just after the flood. Noah is sacrificing to the Lord, and then it says, "And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease.'" So as long as the earth remains, as long as we're here, as long as there is existence, there will be animals, there will be life on earth, there will be plants, there will be warmth, there will be coldness, and there will be everything that makes up life and our whole ecological system here on earth. So yes, we need to take care of the earth. We need to, you know, create a garden out of the earth and everything that the Bible, you know, tells us that we need to do with the earth. But at the same time, we don't need to worry about the sun warming up too much that it burns all of us, or us driving a car around cars a little too much that everybody in the world dies, or something of that nature. That's not going to happen. We know that's not going to happen because God promised that that is not going to happen.
He needs us. We're the end of the bloodline. No, we're not.
Yeah!
I liked the first Aquaman movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. I like Jason Momoa as Aquaman. And, you know, it's just a good, like, underwater adventure. We don't get a lot of, you know, adventure set in Atlantis and stuff like that, right? Because people live above the water, so you don't get a lot of adventures that just take place basically all under the water, like this one does and like the first movie does. So I like those about the Aquaman movies. So going into this, you know, I was looking forward to this. I was excited about this. And I have some mixed feelings coming out the other side of this movie. A lot of this movie is kind of a buddy movie between Aquaman and Orm. So Orm was the villain in the first movie, and so of course at the end of that first movie he defeats Orm. Orm, you know, goes off to prison or whatever, and then in this movie he needs Orm to help save the world, and so it's him and Orm off on an adventure together to stop Black Manta, you know? So it's kind of about them to rebuilding their relationship together, which honestly, at the end of the first movie and everything, that's not what I would have expected. I wouldn't have expected them to really bring Orm back. I thought basically Orm was going to be the one and done villain and he was just going to be off in prison somewhere, but they're bringing him back and it seems like they kind of want to, I mean, it probably won't happen, but they want to set him up here for a future in the franchise. They want to set him up for continuing forward as a character, one of the major characters in the Aquaman movies, which honestly I think is cool. I like that idea, and I like giving Aquaman back his brother and kind of rebuilding that and repairing that relationship. I think that's cool. And I mean, that story arc, it's been done before, it's been done to death, you know, but it's, when done well, it's good. In here, it's done fine, it's done serviceably, you know, you see it and it's like, okay, we know exactly how that's gonna go, we know how that's gonna work, but you know, you like it fine enough. There's some fun quips in there, they have some fun, you know, brotherly interactions and stuff in there that's pretty fun. But again, it's not anything astounding or a novel, you know. I do really enjoy the underwater world, you know, Atlantis and all the fish and him riding on a giant seahorse and all that stuff. That stuff is all very fun. Though it is all basically established in the first movie, most everything that we, you know, most all of that kind of stuff is, that we see in this movie, from what I remember, was kind of established in the first movie. So it's not like this is huge strides forward, I would say, in that department. But I do enjoy those elements here. The main villain here is Black Manta. You know, okay, in the first movie, I thought it was kind of a mistake the way they used Black Manta in the first movie, because, you know, Black Manta, he's Aquaman's, one of his biggest villains, like maybe you could say his arch villain, you know, his arch nemesis, you know, and so to use just his major villain here in just kind of a bit role in the his first movie, I thought was like a mistake. It's like you're kind of wasting this good character in this like small role where he's kind of the side villain over, you know, over there. But okay, he's the big villain here then. So okay, maybe they can, you know, make up for that. You know, they'll redeem what I think is the misstep with him from the first movie. So maybe they can, you know, they can fix that in this one. But honestly, this movie was pretty disappointing with him. I think once again they undercut his character by making him like essentially possessed by this evil trident. He's got this evil trident that is the dark trident and all this kind of stuff, but he becomes basically possessed by it, and he's like, he seems like he's just off doing other stuff at the will of like the trident as opposed to his own will. And it just kind of, Black Manta should be this character that is just so, you know, driven by this revenge and hatred of Aquaman and stuff, right? And even with that, you know, that revenge and everything as the motivation, we should be able to feel, you know, some sympathy for him because he has this great loss of his father that he, you know, wants to get revenge on Aquaman for. And so there's like the big sense of loss and stuff there too that, you know, could make him like a good kind of sympathetic villain while still being definitely an evil bad guy kind of villain, you know. But like, and like we get elements of that in this movie, But, like, once he gets the trident, he just kind of becomes this possessed evil villain, and I feel like he's just not doing anything for his own sake. He's just kind of doing whatever the trident wants him to do, or whatever, and, you know, he's just some evil possessed crazy guy, or whatever, you know, and it's just disappointing, you know, I really think they could have done his character better. It's unfortunate. He looks cool, though. I really like his outfit, the Black Manta outfit. I guess it's more or less what it was in the first movie, but it looks super cool, and him shooting the laser beams at his eyes and everything. It looks super cool. I will say one thing about Aquaman's outfit, especially when, you know, he got the kingly one, which is kind of a more gold kind of looking one and stuff. He looked a little stiff in that. Like, to me, especially his hands, he had those big green gloves that he has his hands in, and they look stiff, and he, like, points at one point in the movie, whereas, like, his whole hand doesn't move. It's just, like, his fingers are all stiff, and it just looked a little weird, honestly. But for the most part, the design, the look of the outfit's cool. It just seems a little stiff sometimes. Amber Heard is in this movie as Mara, once again, reprising her role from the first movie. You know, I thought that they said, you know, after the whole, you know, the trial and everything that happened there with her and Johnny Depp, and there was a big scandal, nobody likes her anymore and stuff. So it's like, I thought I heard that they were getting rid of her character, like they were going to cut her scenes out or something. But no, she has a fairly significant role in this movie. They definitely hid her in the trailers. She was in like one little scene in the trailers, and I saw her and I'm like, oh, okay, she is in the movie. And yeah, she's in the movie, and she has a fairly significant part, which, so it's like, huh, interesting. So they just kind of like ignored all the drama and everything, I guess, and are just like, nope, we're just gonna put her in the movie. And hey, fair enough, I guess. She's fine, honestly. Like everybody else, I guess, I don't like her, you know, seeing all the stuff that she was doing and stuff. She seems like kind of a terrible person, but she's fine enough in this role, you know. She does what she's supposed to do, and it works. So Randall Park plays a character in here called Dr. Stephen Shin. And so he's just kind of some, you know, scientist type character in here. He's the same guy that played the police officer in the Ant-Man movies. And I think he was in WandaVision as well. And it just seems funny to me because he was exactly the same character. Like what they did with him, he was exactly the same character in this movie as he was in the Ant-Man movies. And he fit, like, he was the exact same character, he played it the exact same way, basically, and he fit a very similar role in the movie as far as, you know, the use for him in the movie kind of thing. It just seemed a little weird, him. I don't know if he's, like, stereotyped into this kind of character or not. I don't know what else he's in and if he's, you know, different in other movies, but the two main superhero franchises here, he's kind of stereotyped into this kind of role, which is quirky, comedic, side character that is necessary to push the plot forward, but isn't really a main character here. Also, Dolph Lundgren is in this movie. Was he in the first movie? I don't remember him being in the first Aquaman movie. I haven't seen the first Aquaman movie since it came out, so this is the first time I've seen it since then. But it just seemed weird seeing Dolph Lundgren as a, you know, swimming Aquaman kind of guy. So I don't know why that's weird. It should be weird to see anybody like that, I suppose. But just seeing Dolph Lundgren, you know, doing that, it's like, that's kind of weird. That's, I don't know. There's something weirder about that. Maybe it's just because he's from a older time of cinema or something. I don't know. He's back in the Rocky movies and stuff. Older time, that's 80s, you know? I don't know. Anyway, it just seemed extra weird. Overall, this movie is fine. It's a perfectly fine movie. It, you know, the message gets a little bit obnoxious. The story is basically what you would expect, you know, but there's some of the cool spectacle of it. There is some good moments with, you know, Arthur and Orm and stuff like that. So there's some positives here. There's some negatives here. It's not anything amazing or anything that special. It is kind of unfortunate that this is the note that the DC universe is going out on. But that said, this is a perfectly acceptable movie. And if you, like me, you know, want to watch all the superhero movies, then yeah, this is one to watch, and you'll have enough fun with it.
He'll destroy everything he holds dear. You want blood? Come get it!
That's it for this episode of Helix Reviews. Coming up on the show here, I mean, we're right at the end of the year, so the next episode will probably be my most anticipated movies and things of 2024. And then following that, I mean, I want to do a catching up on 2023 episode where I just, mass review a ton of movies and stuff that I saw in 2023 but didn't talk about on the podcast. And then, of course, you know, all the best of the year type stuff as well. Also, I'm watching the Doctor Who specials now. I need to still watch the Christmas special that just came out. But I want to talk about all the specials, because I think there's going to be four specials at the end of the day here from Doctor Who that came out this year. So I'll talk about those two as well in an upcoming episode here. Until then, this is David of Helix Reviews signing out. Bye-bye, guys.